What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Between Two Tackles. I am your host, Alex Pinelli, and alongside me, as always, is Ray Volo. Another guest appearance today for Dean Montalbano, back on the pod with the boys. Dino, how we doing, baby? We got the linebackers today.
We feel great. Love the generals in the middle. They play great football. They're underappreciated, and I'm excited to talk about them.
Yeah, how'd you feel about this class going in?
I definitely feel like the college game is starting to, for sure, kind of catch up to what the modern linebacker prospect is wanted in the NFL. A lot of these guys have great coverage capabilities, and because of that, there are lack of, I guess you would, you know, quote in, quote out, I guess, traditional linebacking prospects. But I'm excited to talk about them. I don't want to divulge any more.
Fair enough. Ray, how are we doing, buddy?
Doing well. Pretty disappointed in this class as a whole, to be honest with you. I think we can all agree on that, but it was tough just because I feel like no one really, you know, got me itching a little bit. You know, no one got me all pumped up as a prospect, which is kind of unfortunate to see. There was no Christian Harris in this class. That's a hit, by the way. That's a slam. But
that's a hit. Oh my god! Yeah. He got every opportunity because that linebacker room was legit me, you, and Sauce.
I'd be a nasty whoa. Linebacker.
Don't put down Blake Cashman. Don't do it.
I won't.
But that being said, there are some intriguing players at the top. I don't know, man. I don't see how more than two of these guys go top 50. And I think even that's kind of being a little rich.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, I'm kind of defeated with this group. It's not a good way to promote the pod at all, or this episode at least. Mm-hmm. But man, this group fucking stinks. I'm like honestly embarrassed to say like how many linebackers I watch, just praying to see like somebody pop. Like I tried to watch at least a half of some of these lower guys, and dude, oh my god, I watched 16 guys. Horrible. I wasted so much fucking time.
16?
I wasted so much of my life that I wish I had back for some of these guys. And I did find a couple guys that are lower down that are going to get drafted day three or maybe even UDFAs that I liked. But oh my god, did I waste so much time on this group. It made me appreciate so much more when we went through the tackles and the wide receivers and the corners and the plethora of prospects that we got to watch, and watching this group, made me think about reaching in the cabinet looking for some Tide Pods.
I feel like that's kind of what made it like so tough too, because it was just group after group that we were watching. It was like just like loaded with first round talent or day two talent, and this group is just like fuck. Like, are there? You think there's more than three guys that are going to go on day two? I wouldn't even be surprised if there weren't.
I'm going to say three. And one of the guys that I think is going to get drafted, I didn't really love him. I'm just going to say that now. He's in my top five, but I don't really love him. But let's get right into it, because I don't want to waste too much people's time with this group. Ray, who you got at number five?
Got to represent my boy, Tommy Eichenberg, the Ohio State
University.
Honestly,
respect.
And honestly, he's in here just because I think the class is a little weak, as I said, and that 2022 tape is really what pushed him into this top five. I feel like he was a little bit down 2023, but that being said, he's 6'2", 233, so he's got good size. He's a proven leader of a defense too, which I love. He makes all the checks on that defense in Ohio State, real communicator. And I think he's instinctive, which is pretty rare to see out of this group. I feel like this is a group it's either, thumpers in the middle or just athletes who kind of don't know what the fuck's going on. And Tommy Eichenberg, what I love is that he's able to dissect run plays just by looking at the offensive lineman pulling and whatnot. And he's able to shoot gaps too, which I love. He's a kind of an old school type player. He's not really like that new school that Dean was just referencing. He's someone that you want in between the hashes and kind of just like working downhill and making plays at or behind the line of scrimmage in the run game. I think that's really where his bread is buttered. But in 2022, he had 120 tackles, 12 tackles for a loss, 2.5 sacks, and 13 missed tackles, which is just under a 10% rate. And in 2023, he missed a couple of games due to a dislocated elbow, but he had 82 tackles, only 2.5 tackles for a loss, which was really what disappointed me the most. But he cut down those missed tackles. It was at about 8% this year. So he's a consistent tackler. He'll wrap up. He's got a little thump to his game. And his eyes and instincts, I think, is really what I like about him the most. I think he's a heady player. He's going to be someone who comes to the locker room and really kind of like bring up the football IQ from day one. On the negatives, he's just got limited athleticism. Average, I'll be nice and call it that. He's not someone that you really want working in space too much. He can play some zones, a cover two, and like carry some linebackers, kind of pick up some running backs out of the backfield, but you don't really want him in man coverage at all. And he's not particularly versatile either. He's, like I said, he's someone that you really just want in between the hashes doing the dirty work. So I kind of view him as a, from day one, he'll play some special teams, obviously, but I think he fits that linebacker three mold. And I think if he ends up becoming a starter, it's just going to become between the ears. That's really what's going to get him there. I think he could be a leader of a team, but he's a day three pick for me.
Yeah, Dino, where'd you have Eichenberg?
I have him at five.
Oh, nice. All right.
I actually have a lot to say. I obviously Ray covered it beautifully, but I had a lot to say on it, considering the fact that, just like we have already spoken about, this is a very lackluster crew. And I often think, you know, for the off-ball linebacker position, you know, for evaluation standpoint, I feel like we're starting to kind of overcompensate towards where the modern NFL linebacker is looking at. And we just overlook some guys that are just great leaders, great locker room guys, do the fundamentals right, get the angles of pursuit correct, are rangy in run defense. And, you know, I guess you would call, I feel like we consider the traditional linebacker kind of too broadly now. You know, Tommy Eichenberg can fit that, but he, on top of that, is not devoid of athleticism whatsoever. He does have athleticism that can be developed on and improved on. And he's going to be, you know, as NFL ready as anyone in this class could be. It would not surprise me if he's just quickly a serviceable starting linebacker, which in this group, in this class, that's five all day in my book. And, you know, Ray talked about it too. He is atrocious in coverage, which is going to be a huge concern, but I do have some faith that he can grow in that aspect from his junior season to his senior season. He did go from a 134 QBR allowed to 187. And then this past season, you know, his fifth year, he did go back up to 100 QBR. We did talk about how this was not his year. Maybe he did have some ailing injuries that, you know, that does always happen a lot of the time, but he definitely can potentially grow in that aspect. And then he could be a home, you know, not a home run, but what's wrong with a serviceable linebacker?
Yeah. And one thing I forgot to mention too, this guy's a fucking dog. His, I guess last year, 2022, he played with two broken thumbs. And then this past year, dislocated his elbow, missed a couple games, but then rushed back to play against the team up north. So gotta respect the dog in him. He's greedy as hell. And the one negative I forgot to mention too, is just the lack of length is what's concerning to me. He's only got like 31 inch arms. So that is something to be concerned of.
Yeah. I have Eichenberg at seven. I really like what you guys said. I do think that if he does get on the field in year one, it's going to be because of his instincts. And honestly, in a class where so few guys have that football instinct and IQ, I really do appreciate the way he plays, but he's just a limited athlete for me. I know, Dean, you said maybe he grows in that area. I don't know. I just don't see him getting there. I feel like he's almost tapped out athletically, just his overall size and his arm length, just the way he runs. So I have him at seven, but I could see him being like a core special teamer for a long time in the NFL. This dude loves ball. He's competitive as hell. And those are the guys that you want playing special teams too. So he did get a lot of reps too at Ohio State playing special teams. So I think that's where he gets on the field in year one, especially. For me, I have Cedric Gray at five from UNC, 6'2", 235. This past season, he had 121 tackles, 5 sacks, 1 interception, and 2 forced fumbles. This guy's production is elite. He's got back-to-back 120-plus tackle seasons, and he had 99 as a sophomore. He's really tough going downhill. His pursuit speed is quick when he's quick to trigger downhill. And he does some good stuff in coverage, too. I think he feels a little bit better in man coverage than zone right now, where he can kind of have just one assignment, and he's not worried about too much stuff that's behind him. And then the last thing, he's got violent hands, man, to disengage from blockers. There are so many guys in this class who just can't get off of blocks, and I don't think he was one of them. I thought he was pretty good in that aspect, so that kind of pushed him up for me. The reasons I have him at 5, this dude has so many missed tackles. He is in a lot of plays where maybe he shouldn't even be, but he had 19 missed tackles this year. Just got to clean that up, got to wrap up and come to balance when you're making those tackles. He overruns plays in the hole. He just completely misreads the play and it is in the wrong gap when he's filling the hole. And then as of right now, he's kind of a see ball, get ball type of player. Doesn't play with a ton of instincts. But I think if some coaches can get with him, work with him on some scheme stuff and just run through film with him, because he does make a lot of plays. So if he could start to pick up some schematic stuff on the defensive side of the ball, I think he could grow as a player and be a linebacker too for a team down the road.
Yeah, I like Cedric Gray. He's actually at my linebacker 7 as well. Converted wide receiver too. So he's still young at the position despite playing a lot of football and having a ton of production these last 2 years. So I think that's something that's a plus as well. But he's got good length, good athleticism. He's a little lean, and I feel like his take on skills need to be improved, obviously. But he's someone who's going to be good in coverage. And I think as we've been mentioning in today's NFL, I think that's definitely something that's going to be valued. I think as the more linebacker he plays, I think the instincts will probably come a little bit better. And like you said, he's quick to trigger, so he could develop into a nice starter as well. But again, I feel like a lot of these guys, day one core special teamers, linebacker 3 role, and they're going to have to work their way in. And I think when push comes to shove, it's going to come between the ears. That's where you're going to see the differences here.
All right. Dino, you have Cedric Gray anywhere?
I believe I had him at 7 as well. I'm going to be honest. I kind of just set up this top 5 and kind of decided who was out. He was very close.
Okay.
I would put him probably in 6 or 7. I just didn't technically rate him.
Got him. Ray, who you got at 4?
At 4, I got Maris Leafau from Notre Dame. I think I said that one right. I had to watch
a couple
highlight videos to get it down, but he's an intriguing player. 6'2", 234. He's got 10-inch hands and 34-plus-inch arms, which I love. I think length at linebacker is massive, especially when you kind of got a bunch of these raw guys who take on skills aren't that good. I think having those long arms, it's really going to help you develop those skills once you get into the league. This is a 5th-year senior from Hawaii. He's a 3-star recruit. He's only got 28 starts over 3 seasons. He missed his 3rd year in college with an injury the entire year. But this past year, he's a Butkus Award semifinalist. So the stats these past years, he only had 44 tackles, 6 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks. He had 10 missed tackles, which is a big number, about 19% of tackles missed. But this is a guy, he's kind of a hybrid player. They played him a lot on the edge, especially during obvious passing downs. I think that entire last drive in the Ohio State game, he was playing off the edge. I kind of like the hybrid ability of him. I think he's someone who's got great length and physical tools. He's explosive. He only ran a 4.64, but I think he plays a lot faster than that personally. He's someone who I think he's going to be used as kind of a hybrid defender. I think he can play off-ball linebacker. I think once he gets more reps off-ball, I think the instincts will come. But he's someone that you can use as a spy. I think that's what he uses really well, because his closing speed is legit. And you can use as a blitzer as well, where he's pretty productive off the edge on stunts and twists and whatnot. But he's what I like about him the most, but with the length, but his reaction is very quick. And I think he has some instinct to his game. I know he's kind of, he'll misread some stuff now, but I think the more he plays off ball, the instincts will come. But I like the fact that there's no hesitation in his game. He trusts with his eyes, for better or for worse. It leads him astray at times, but he trusts his eyes and he has the ability to get into the backfield, which I really love. On the negatives, I wish he had some more experience in coverage. He was really used just mainly as a blitzer, spy, and then in some basic zones. I think he has the tools to be able to match up in man coverage against tight ends, but I just didn't really see much of it on tape. The missed tackles obviously has to get cleaned up. And just, he's not much of a thumper, but he's chippy as hell. So he doesn't have much like lay wood on you and like kind of knock people the fuck out, but he's chippy. He'll do the dirty work and he'll let you know it too when he makes a good play. So he's another one. I think he'll probably be somewhere on day three. He'll have to work his way into a starting rotation, but the tools are very intriguing to me. And I think he's someone who could develop fast in a couple years.
Yeah, Dino, you have Maris anywhere?
No.
Okay. I had him at 6, right? And it's pretty funny because I felt like I saw him a little bit differently than you, but I had him just outside, and I liked what I saw. I actually did like his violence when he came downhill. I like that edge that he has, like you were talking about, but I do think he's got a little bit more power than you were giving him a little bit credit for. And I thought, I know you said you didn't get a ton of reps, and neither did I, but I thought he actually had pretty good feel in coverage in the limited reps that I saw. I think he's got a good sense of where teams want to attack, especially in the middle of the field. I feel like he's pretty comfortable in that area. I didn't see a ton of him in man-to-man coverage, but I thought the zone stuff was pretty good from what I saw.
Yeah, exactly. I think he could. I think he has the tools, the length, and everything to match up in man coverage, which I really want to see. I feel like he could kind of be a good little Swiss Army knife on a defense on third downs.
Yeah, I didn't love his instincts. I thought he was picking gaps wrong a lot, and maybe it's just a product of the scheme that I'm not sure of. But I thought his instincts were a little bit questionable. I thought he was another guy kind of see ball, get ball at this point. And I thought he had trouble getting off blocks and trouble locating the ball in the run game. He's a guy that was spinning off blocks and he loses sight of the football a lot. But I mean, when he gets a clean shot on somebody, if he's coming down, he's one-on-one with somebody, like he gives them good power. So I liked him. I thought he could be a rotational guy in year one, be a really good special teamer with the way he likes to play. So I got him at 6. Dino, who you got at 4?
At 4, I'm going to have to take the, I feel like you guys would probably have him higher. Going to be Junior Colson out of Michigan. 6'2", I believe he was, well, like 6'3". I believe he was at like 247. It's going to be hard to find a better tackling prospect, especially in this class. He's definitely the best of the bunch. He's just a prototypical 100-tackle guy in college. Very impressed with how he held his weight for sure. Going to be that thumper in the middle. I love that word, thumper. Ray used it before. Perfect to describe Junior Colson. He's definitely going to be that thumper. Like I just said, in the middle of the field, that O-linemen are going to be, you know, interior O-linemen might hesitate when approaching to in the second level and taking him a little bit more seriously than they would other linebackers for sure. For his size, again, Colson impressed me in his coverage skills. Definitely displaying that ability to kind of live in the world of the modern linebacker that we discussed, and that coverage skill mostly on tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. I saw him several times get honestly torched on some, you know, speedy receivers, which is obviously going to be a disadvantage in general for middle linebackers. Can be stiff, and it, you know, if he doesn't overpower blockers, he could be disengaged fairly easily. Definitely going to be a project, but I feel like if he cleans up, he could definitely be the best of this bunch. I just feel like it'll definitely be, I feel like a reality of that happening is harder to see than my top three.
Fair. I also got Junior Colson at 4. Ray, where'd you have him?
I had him at 3. Full disclosure, I had him at 4 maybe 30 seconds before this podcast. I flipped him and Maris. But yeah, we're all around the same area.
Yeah, I got him at 4 too. And this is the guy that I was talking about that I think most likely goes on day 2, but I wasn't really in love with him for all the talk he was getting about possibly being the best linebacker in this class. Like, I don't know. I just didn't see it. I'll start with his strengths because he does have a lot of good stuff going for him. He's got tough physical presence in the middle of the field. He will come down and blow up offensive linemen and tight ends when he gets a clean shot on somebody. Like Dean said, extremely sure tackler. His grip strength is strong. He doesn't let ball carriers get through his hands. He only had 5 missed tackles all season. good zone coverage defender. I think he's got a good sense of what's going on behind him, and he reads QB's eyes to make throws tough and get balls around him. And he's always making calls on the defense. He's the leader of that Michigan defense that won the national championship. So that is nothing to snuff at for sure. For me, the negatives right now, I said he comes downhill with force, but I think he's a little hesitant to come downhill. He's another one. He's see ball, chase ball at this point. I think it causes him to miss plays in the backfield, or at some points, if the running back's taking like a wide zone outside the tackle, like he just doesn't take good angles sometimes, and he just completely misses a ball carrier because of it. I think he's a decent athlete, but he's not elite. He just doesn't have the same type of twitch that the top two guys that we're going to talk about have. And I think in conjunction with that, the changing of direction in man coverage is an issue. Running backs out of the backfield can lose him really easily. And then the last thing I had, you know, I agree with you. He's a tackling machine, but he's not like a big play type of linebacker. For 3 years of production, he's had more assist tackles than solo tackles every single season. So he's like a gang tackler type of linebacker at this point. Like, he's not a one-on-one stand-up tackle type of linebacker. And maybe, again, that's a product of the system that they have at Michigan. They got a ton of guys that all love to rally around the football. So maybe he's not getting credit for all of them. Mm-hmm. But for all these other guys, like, there are way more instances where you see, I'm going to mention these top two guys, Edgerrin Cooper and Peyton Wilson, making stand-up one-on-one tackles than Junior Colson is. And in three seasons of play, he's only got 2.5 sacks, 0 forced fumbles, 0 interceptions. So I know we always talk about interceptions, maybe forced fumbles, the turnovers are overrated. But in 3 years of play, to not get any of those type of plays as a big-time linebacker, that's a little suspect for me. So I got Junior Colson at 4. I still think he could be a really good player because of his football IQ, but I think he's going to be a little bit more of a project than some people are anticipating right now.
Yeah. So I'll just piggyback too, just kind of him at 3. He's someone who, from what I've heard on like obviously other podcasts and just hearing like the media talk about him, I had a completely different image of what kind of player he was going to be.
Same.
I thought he was going to be super twitched up and like I thought he was on a freaks list, if I'm not mistaken.
He was on Felder's.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I didn't see I didn't see the athleticism like that at all, to be honest.
Michael Barrett's a way better athlete than he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these guys are better athletes than him.
I'm just talking about like when I was watching Michigan, like I was noticing Michael Barrett more than I was noticing Junior Colson.
100%. But he's an old, like, again, he's one of those old school linebackers. He's 6'2", 238. He's got good length of 32-inch arms. His take on skills are decent. They're not the best. And I think I agree with what you said, Sauce. I think you just mentioned it. He's hesitant. He doesn't trust his eyes fully. So maybe that is something that the more football he plays, because he's only a true junior, and like the more reps he gets, that'll come and where he'll be, and it'll make us look a little foolish for having him this low. But on the other negatives too, I don't really like him in coverage at all. I think his eyes, he's a little slow to pick up crossers. I think he takes a little bit too many missteps, and coupled with that, the fact that he's not the quickest to start. You know what I mean? Like when he sees it, he doesn't have the quick twitch to like go immediately and fire out of a cannon like Maris does, for instance. So I think coupled with that, it just leads to a lot of completions in front of him. But he's a sure-handed tackler. He's another one like Tommy Eichenberg. You want him doing his work in between the hashes. So I think he'll probably go round 3, maybe round 4. And one spot that I've just thought of the other day watching him that I would really love to see him in is Seattle, in that Mike McDonald defense. I know they just lost Jordan Brooks too. Kind of a hole there. So I think that'd be a good value for them in either late day 2 or early day 3.
Right. All right, let's keep it rolling. Ray, you had Junior Colson at 3. Dino, who you got 3?
I got 3. Got to represent Jeremy Trotter Jr.
My boy.
What did I just say?
Jeremy.
That's hilarious. I'm sticking. He's Jeremy forever now. Jeremy Trotter.
Johnny Junior, and Jeremy.
Junior out of Clemson. You know, I believe he was about 6'6", 230. Going to be again on the smaller side, as most of these guys we're going to be talking about today are. Obviously, son of all pro Jeremy Trotter. former Eagle.
And... Put some respect on that man's name.
That's fucked up. son of all pro Jeremiah Trotter, former Eagle and Commander or Redskin. Honestly, I don't know. Whatever works. Really fun to watch Trotter. And that being, it honestly reminded me of, oh my gosh, I'm slipping. Who, 2 years ago, the son of another All-Pro. Anyway, I'm losing my track, and honestly, I totally forgot. But anyway, it's just really fun to see him play, just for the fact that you could just see the football in his blood displayed on the tape, and that's obviously from being the son of an All-Pro, and it's just, he's very instinctual, and just like Ray said before, in this class, instincts were very, very, very hard to come by. Besides, you know, like a Tommy Eichenberg, he definitely, I believe, shared those instincts. He was very instinctual in coverage, and he had great patience in the run game, which really allowed him to juke oncoming blockers, honestly, sometimes like they were children, and he needed to do that because he honestly did get tied up pretty easily. He's an absolutely elite pass rush ability for an off-ball prospect, for sure. Obviously, that's going to be the first thing you think of when you think about Trotter. He had a silly pass rush win rate of over 20% for his last 2 years at Clemson. I am slightly worried that at the next level, if interior linemen get to the next level and square with Trotter, he'll have a rough time. He won't move. He'll stay there. That's just a fact. He's going to have to fill into his frame. And I do fear that consistently having elite interior D linemen in the pros, obviously, you know, when you have, you know, Clemson five stars in the interior and honestly the exterior of your D line as well, you kind of feel like you could just kind of run around and do whatever you want. And that obviously was a big reason he could get the sacks he could get and have the pass rush win rate and didn't get tied up as well. But I mean, he showed some crazy flashes of making guys miss, making blockers miss, and then just doing some great tackles, great form tackling. And I do feel like he could fill into his size, and I just can't get over the fact, and I this is becoming a bias for me, that if you're the son of a great and you show that you can play ball and you have that swagger to you, that was kind of the difference between him being 3 and 4 for me.
Yeah. I also got Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at 3. Exactly what you said, in a class where nobody basically had football instincts, he's got it in spades. I really loved watching him and Barrett Carter fly around for Clemson. The way that scheme is set up, really, it's just cloggers up front and really just letting those two linebackers get downhill and do what they do best. He had 87 tackles this year, 5.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles. You could just tell he's the son of a pro, and he's been studying the linebacker position his entire life. The way he takes on blocks, the way he plays with leverage when offensive linemen are getting to the second level and has that low man wins type of mentality, it was just outstanding. His eyes are awesome. In run defense, he's quick to sniff out holes and cut back lanes, and in zone coverage, it's great instincts to where the quarterback wants to throw the ball. You mentioned those sacks. I do think it's part of a product of the scheme, but he is excellent at timing those delayed blitzes, especially when he's in that spy. He really knows when to trigger downhill and when to pick his spots in that. So I love that. I love that stuff. He's got average play speed, but I think his instincts and his IQ allow him to play much faster than he is. So I think that's a big time positive for him. But like you said, just a smaller linebacker can really get swallowed up in the run game against really good interior players on the offensive line. He doesn't have much power to his game. He's much more of a finesse type of linebacker. The missed tackles was an issue this past year. Obviously, smaller linebacker, shorter arms, smaller frame, less radius to make those tackles. And then there were a few plays where he got fooled by misdirection and play action, just having his eyes in the backfield and just trying to anticipate a play. But I think there are far more examples of him showing great instincts, great patience, and really knowing when to trigger downhill. So I really like Jeremiah Trotter, and I think this is a high floor type of player. You might not get much more out of him at the next level, but an extremely high floor type of player that I would be comfortable throwing in different packages.
Yeah, I just want to add, because I had to look it up because he was eating me alive, but the player I was talking about was Antoine Winfield Jr., who...
Okay, dude, because I was looking back while you were talking.
Dude, he got his second contract already. He's a safety.
I know. I didn't mean to allude that he was a linebacker. I just meant that he was a son of
a... It was so funny. I remember 2022 linebackers,
like similar things were said about Winfield Jr. He was undersized, and he was just a guy you knew who was extremely instinctual and could play ball. But when it came to just, you know, how he stacked up against the field, I remember him consistently be at the back end of everyone's top fives. He was extremely, you know, productive. Yeah. Obviously,
I hear you, Dino. I hear you for sure.
He's clearly the best safety of that class.
Yeah. It's just so funny because while you were talking, I was going back trying to find who the player was. And I went through the 2021, 2022, and 2023 linebacker classes and looked through every single player drafted, every single UDFA that was picked up.
Really?
And I could not figure out who the fuck you were talking about.
I started flubbing because I thought of it. I'll know the name, and I just didn't know the name.
That was good.
Good to have you back, bro.
Yeah.
Ray, anything to add about Jeremiah Trotter?
Yeah, so I had him at six. I had him just outside. I agree with you guys. I think his eyes are really good, especially in coverage. I think he's able to identify crossers. He's good at carrying tight ends down the seam, picking up running backs out of the backfield. And blitzing-wise, like, if you get a running back versus him one-on-one, it's a wrap. He's violent against running backs. I think I was another one of him. Like, I was surprised that he wasn't as twitched up as I was anticipating. He's just an average athlete in my eyes. He's shorter arms too, just 31 and a half inches. He doesn't do the dirty work either. His take on skills just really aren't there. Like, he'll, instead of like just trying to stand up a lineman, which I know it's like kind of like easy for me to say sitting here in my fucking bed, but like he'll like try to like go around them. And I feel like it leaves too many holes open. It kind of almost leaves his like team out to dry a little bit. And you mentioned it too. He's another one, not really a thumper at all. He's pretty light. He doesn't really have much power to his hits. He's more of a like kind of a cleanup type of guy. But he's a good. I think he's got, like you said, he's got a high floor, and he'll be on an NFL roster for the foreseeable future at least. Not like he's he's not going to be like undrafted or anything.
Right. All right. Let's get to the top two. Ray, you got a two.
I have Peyton Wilson from NC State. 6'4", 233. He's another one, T-Rex arms, 30 and a half inches. But this guy, the name of this guy's game is just speed. He ran a 4.4 3.40, and it shows up on tape, and it may even be faster. He has game-changing speed, like where he'll take a wrong route or someone will just break one, and he can chase down running backs, wide receivers. It does not matter. That's the type of speed that defensive coordinators salivate over. He's another player too, very clean tackler, wrap up, gets low. I think he had six missed tackles each of the last 2 years. That was like 8% and 4%. So he's really consistent. Doesn't miss anything too bad. And his ball production last year was really impressive. I think he had three interceptions, three pass breakups. So that ability to kind of change the game and get the ball back in coverage is something that's going to be really intriguing for defensive coordinators as well. And he's another one, leader of that defense. I mean, he's a 6-year player, so you got to hope he is, but communicator, changing alignments and whatnot. He has everything in order, which you love to see out of a linebacker. The negatives, the injury history is obviously a red flag. I think he had an ACL, maybe even two ACL injuries coming out of high school.
Two ACLs.
Yeah, and then the shoulder injury as well. So shoulder injuries for linebackers, especially when you have short arms, I think that's a major red flag. Medicals at the combine are obviously going to be massive for this guy. And his instincts, I don't think he has the best instincts. I don't think his instincts are particularly good, to be honest with you. I think his athleticism kind of masks it. I think that rare speed can make up for it. So typically you think the more football you play, the better they'll get. But this is a 6-year player. So he's going to be 24 as a rookie. So those things kind of do concern me a little bit. But when you have that speed, you're going to get drafted high. So I think he'll be a day one starter. And we'll see how it goes, honestly.
Yeah. Do you know where you got Peyton Wilson?
Yeah, I got Peyton at two as well. I mean, he's my undoubted number one, but he's my. I mean, he would be my undoubted one, number one without injuries, should I say? You know, it's just
fair.
It's just a, you know, quantity of significant injuries. We're talking about, you know, double ACLs. He pulled the Dean in fucking high school. And then he had shoulder surgery on one shoulder. He missed significant time for another shoulder. And then he missed spring training a significant portion of with both shoulders. I don't know. You know, you got to be very careful with that stuff. And for a guy who's throwing around his body like that, it's going to happen. So, but wow, do your eyes pop when you see that 2023 season, those stats, dude. 138 tackles, 17 and a half tackles for loss, 6 sacks, 3 picks. I mean, that's ridiculous. Upper echelon athleticism and twitch, just like Ray said. Arms are shorter. What I wrote down exactly, word for word, and it's basically what Ray just said. Arms are shorter than you would like at 30 and a half, but his speed will for sure nullify this issue. It basically doesn't matter. He is actually has a pretty decent wingspan considering he's only 30 and a half. I feel like he has like a – I think he has like a top five – like or 10% wingspan of, yeah, he has like an 85 percentile wingspan at 76 1/8, considering he's still, I guess he's really broad.
I was really hoping you didn't know what percentile meant and you,
and it was 10, flipped.
Yeah. I was actually praying. I was praying for it, but good
it
job.
Was praying on my downfall. Jesus. But yeah, no, you can't, the injuries and the fact that he's older, you know, just like Ray said, those are a big deal when you're investing draft capital. So for that reason, he'll definitely not be, you know, he can't be my one. But if you're just looking at his tape and you're telling me who do I want right now and they're healthy, obviously it would be Peyton Wilson.
Yeah. I mean, his speed is just rare, man. When you turn on the film, like your eyes go to him immediately. Like, who the fuck is that guy running around? And sometimes, like Ray said, I mean, he overruns plays a lot in the hole where he's just trying to blow up a play for a 3-yard loss and completely misses the hole. Be like, holy shit, like, who the fuck is that running around?
Just doesn't matter.
the lateral agility between gaps, he's fluid, he's a natural. I think this is a dude that could be your chess piece in guarding tight ends with that type of speed and guarding running backs out of the backfield. Plays his ass off every play. I mean, this guy, he plays like a guy who's torn his ACL twice and or his shoulder. Like, he plays like every play is his last play. Like, his body's just going to completely break down if he doesn't make a tackle. So I fucking love that. He just hunts for tackles, and his grip strength when he's got his hands on you are awesome. This is a former state champion wrestler. This guy also played lacrosse in high school. So the overall athlete that you're getting at this size, at 6'4" and at this position, is really elite. But you guys said it, the age, the injuries, it's just, it might be too much to overcome. I mean, there are a lot of people saying that, like, this is a first round player without the injuries. I wouldn't go that far. I think he'd be a top half, the first like couple picks of round two, maybe. But man, I mean, he does some special things on tape that are undeniable. And in a class that is pretty lackluster, watching him was an absolute pleasure. All right. So we all got Edgerrin Cooper at number one, I'm assuming, unless Ray, I know you really loved JD Bertrand from Notre Dame.
You can go with Edgerrin. Start with Edgerrin Cooper first, Sauce.
All right, I'm going to start with Edgerrin Cooper. He's my dude. Brought him up during the season. Just an outstanding year he had for Texas A&M. 83 tackles, 8 sacks out of that linebacker position, 2 forced fumbles, 6'2", 230. He's got great blend of speed and arm length that makes him dominant off-ball linebacker, can really get downhill, can really run sideline to sideline. He's got an extremely long wingspan, too. Got wide radius. His patience in the run game, I really love. The way he fills holes with suddenness is really impressive. He's slippery in traffic. He's a guy that makes himself skinny in between blockers, which I really love to see. If you can't have, he doesn't have that true like take on ability, but he is so good at slipping offensive linemen. His ability to play the spy is a great skill for the NFL. He did an outstanding job against Jalen Milroe and against Jaden Daniels this past season. His closing speed and burst and that late blitzing ability that I talked about, Jeremiah Trotter, it is just elevated with this guy. His feel makes him different than the rest of that group in that aspect. And with so many running quarterbacks in the NFL, that spy position has become so important. And I think this guy fills that role immediately. And he's got good long speed to cover tight ends and running backs in man coverage. I mean, he loses sight of guys sometimes, but the overall athleticism is there to go out and cover all these good tight ends and running backs. Some of the weaknesses right now, he can get stuck with his eyes in the backfield, especially in zone coverage. Balls can just honestly fly right by his head, and he doesn't see it sometimes. Needs to keep the pad level lower, too, in the run game. He stands a little too upright when he's taking on blocks. Want to see him sink those hips, really anchored down, and then go make a tackle. And I think he could, in that aspect, he can use another 5-10 pounds, especially in the lower half. He's a little bit built up top. I think that lower half is a little skinny right now, and I think he's going to put on some weight once he gets into the NFL, and those take-on skills are going to become much improved. But this is a guy that I would feel comfortable taking in the mid to early second round as a true off-ball linebacker. He's going to be a really good pro.
Yeah, I mean, you honestly, God, like you, everything you said, I saw, which
no,
is kind
I know.
Of annoying. It's very annoying because you're never right about shit like this. But yeah, I love him as a prospect. I love the length and athleticism. You mentioned his lower half, dude. His legs are fucking like twigs, and I'm pretty
and he's
sure
got like those Dean legs where he's like bow legged.
Dude, I was gonna say, yeah, he's literally bow legged slash knock kneed. You took the words out of my fucking mouth.
No, bow legged's the opposite fucking way.
All right, he's got knock knees.
Jesus Christ,
he looks like Dean out there, except just handsome and athletic and not okay. Stopped it. That being said, his closing speed's his best trait. I think, like you mentioned, as a blitzer and a spy, it's going to be really valuable. And as far as instincts go, I think he may have the best in the class. He has the best feel of working through traffic, and like especially on those like wide zone type plays, I feel like he's able to shoot gaps and get into the backfield quick. He's got to add some strength, and his take on skills are shaky at best. But this is someone who I think he has the highest ceiling out of any of the linebackers in this class, and I think he's the best right now, which is a good combo. I agree with what you said. I think he's a top 45 pick, and he reminds me of Devin Lloyd a little bit, so who's been pretty productive his first 2 years. So I think he's got all the tools to be a really solid starting linebacker in this league.
It would be repetitive for me to add anything more than just a little tidbit that I thought was fucking wild, and that is the fact that over 20% of his tackles this past year were behind the line of scrimmage. So
awesome.
Wild. 84 tackles, 17 of them behind, 17 of them for loss. That kind of speaks for itself. Everything else you guys said was right. I do want to kind of add a little question, if possible. If you were a pretty linebacker needy team at the end of the first, are you taking Edgerrin? Or
can we go through a team?
Yeah, I was trying to think. I just thought of that on the spot. I feel like we should think of a team that would be pretty linebacker heavy, and maybe
like I was just thinking about the Ravens, who lost Patrick Queen, but they also drafted Trenton Simpson in the third round last year, so like maybe that's not where they go.
The Vikings, but they're not going to keep that 23rd pick.
So. No.
Let's say they traded back and they're at 31.
Like this is a player that like
I'll be
I
honest,
think he's got
just, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, Ray.
No, I'm just no.
I wouldn't know, but I do think he has talent that if somebody did take him at the back end of day one, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, I agree.
But I would probably lean no. But I do think he ends up being top 50 pick pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's roll through our top fives, and then we'll talk about some guys outside our top five who are not good players because the whole class wasn't good. Right, you got to start us up.
Yeah, so I got Edgerrin Cooper from A&M at 1, Peyton Wilson from NC State at 2, Junior Colson from the team up north at 3, Marist Leofau from Notre Dame at 4, and Tommy Eichenberg from the Ohio State University at 5.
Beautiful.
Nice. What do you got, Dino?
I got at 1, Edgerrin Cooper, at 2, Peyton Wilson, 3, Jeremiah Trotter, 4, Junior Colson, and then 5, Tommy Eichenberg.
Nice. So I also have Edgerrin Cooper, Peyton Wilson, 1-2, and then I have Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at 3, Junior Colson from Michigan at 4, and then Cedric Gray from UNC at 5. Ray, any of these guys outside that you want to talk about?
I guess I'll talk about Jalen Ford a little bit from Texas. Nice. He's a 2-year starter for them. He's another one, very big, kind of an all throwback type linebacker, 6'2", 240. Sub 32-inch arms is a concern, but he's another one kind of between the hashes you want him playing. He's got good athleticism where he can play sideline to sideline, but I think his major strength are going to be between the hashes. And then he also had 6 interceptions the last 2 years too, so he's got some good ball skills. So he's another one I can see going on day 3 and being a special teamer and an early down linebacker in a couple of years.
Nice. Dino, you got anybody for us?
This cat I liked a lot, actually, out of Kentucky, Trevin Wallace, wildly young. You like that, Ray?
I like it that you said that you liked him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, really small guy, but Jesus, does he hit like he has 20 pounds more on him. Jesus Christ. I think he's less than 220 pounds, if I had to guess.
He's 237.
Yes. He's like a muscle hamster.
Yeah.
So, dude, looks like he's like 220, 225.
He's just souped up. He's jacked.
Oh, was that his combine measurement? That was definitely just him freaking on a ton of animal stack before he got there. He's 225.
He ran a 4.4, I think, too, no?
He walks
4-5.
Around
4.5.
He walks around 225. I'd bet my life on it. Anyway.
So he gained 20 pounds and then ran a 4.5?
Well, he gained 10 pounds. He's not in 230s. He's not. It's a fact.
Okay.
I'll take it to my grave. Anyway, Trevin Wallace. Wildly young, by the way. He's not 21, I think, anytime soon either. I'm probably wrong about that.
You're good.
Wow, really funny. No, never mind.
Okay.
Oh my God, he just turned 21 the other day. So still really young though. But he had a lot of fun tape. I wanted to go back and watch him because during the season, watching a lot of Kentucky and considering they were a really fun team to watch, and Trevin Wallace was all over the field. So I went back, watched it. Definitely going to be a guy that a team, I think, potentially invests in probably a little bit earlier than most would think. And again, just a fun guy, violent on the football field, and probably going to end up being like a weak side linebacker who could kind of work in maybe a few years, a developmental project.
Nice. Should I just rattle off a bunch of guys? Because I watched so fucking many of them. I don't want to feel like it was wasted.
I think you should do that in the mirror later tonight.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do it now. Dino, welcome back to the pod. It's our fucking show. Jordan McGee from Temple, 6'1", 228, 80 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble. Really high IQ football player, really smart dude. I think he's a chemical or mechanical engineering major. Everybody just raves about this dude and what type of person that he is. But man, this dude is fearless on the football field. He really sticks his nose in on every play, quick to fire downhill. But he is so undersized right now. He gets caught up in the run game so much. He'll shoot gaps when balls are completely on the opposite side of the field. So I think this dude is a core special teamer and guy that'll play with his hair on fire. Trice Wright from UTEP was a really interesting watch. This dude is a tackling machine. Over the last 3 years, 101 tackles, 97 tackles, 140 tackles this year, had 4.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble. This is a guy that I was reading about it from Independence College. Shout out Last Chance U. That's where they used to film. This guy plays so off script. Like they don't have schemes, I guess, at UTEP. And he just freelances and does whatever the fuck he wants. But his production is just outstanding. But the instincts and everything else just need to come along. His take on skills aren't great. But he honestly like reminded me of, this is not a comparison at all, but the way Micah Parsons looked his freshman year at Penn State, just making plays but having no idea what the fuck was going on. That's kind of what he reminds me of on tape, but every single game he has like 10 tackles. So he was a fun watch. And then the last guy, Nathaniel Watson from Mississippi State, big physical linebacker, 6'2", 230. He's a thumper in the middle, and he'll let you know about it too. He's a dog in the middle. He also had, I think he had 10 sacks. Yeah, he had 10 sacks this year, which was really impressive. He's another one, those late blitzers. And then when he's got one-on-ones with the running back, he can be really physical and violent with his hands. He's a little bit limited in his lateral mobility, but just makes a ton of plays on tape. He's kind of a gang tackler too. This year, he had 137 tackles, and 102 of them were assists. So he only had 35 solo tackles this year. So he's a true gang tackler, but in like a big heavy scheme, like this is a guy that maybe gets on the field in 2 or 3 years.
Nice.
Fuck, should I go on more?
Shout out
my boy Curtis Jacob too from Penn State. Just a really high floor type of player. Maybe a limited athlete, but a really high IQ, really understands how to play the position. Just needs like that foot speed and that little twitch to start to come along. But he's fun to watch in the middle because he's always making calls. He's always around the football. He knows what to do. So I do like that. I just want to rattle off all these guys because it was so stupid that I watched all of them.
I think that's enough.
I'll save it. Ray, you like that? That's called deep scouting.
I respect it, yeah.
All right, boys. That was good. Fun time. That's going to wrap it up for us here on Between Two Tackles. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed our linebackers episode more than we did. Stay with us. We got tight ends coming up. We got the safeties. We got running backs. We got mock drafts. We got big boards all leading up to the 2024 NFL draft. So stay locked in. As always, please rate and subscribe to the pod and follow our Twitter at @2Tackles2. You can also find us on underdogpodcast.com and stick with us as we head towards this 2024 NFL draft. Fellas, appreciate you.